Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you that you can hear How Did I Get Here along with over 5,000 other shows while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Available for your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, any of the pads, if you know what I'm talking about. Downloading is easy. Just go to Stitcher.com or check your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to this show. Wow. Things are hectic over here. They're getting crazy. I'm going to tell you all about it in just a second. First, let me tell you who is on the show today. We have the return of Taylor Muse from Quiet Company. Yes, that's right. He was on some 250-something episodes ago, which is crazy. And anyway, since then, the band's been touring. And they've been playing a bunch of big shows, opening for bands, playing festivals, etc., etc. And so he got a chance to come over and talk to me. They are in the middle of making a record, or just finished making a record called Transgressor, with a dear friend of mine named Matt Nevesky, producer, guy from Blue October. Great guy, great producer. And looking forward to hearing that album. I have no tracks to jam for you. They're keeping this under a tight lid because eventually it's going to come out. And we talk about that. Also, they're about to embark on a tour that is like 16 shows in 16 days. And I am lucky enough that I'm going to get to see them on June 8th in New York because I will be there. I'll be playing with Skyrocket June 7th at the Hill Country Barbecue. I will go see them at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn on Sunday, June 8th. Okay? So anyway, Taylor and I have a great time catching up, a great conversation about his life, about keeping a band together, about, you know, missing your family when you're on the road, all kinds of things. And before we get to that conversation, let me tell you what's going on. Here is, I booked a bunch of shows for the summer. My friend Jeff Plankenhorn has a residency at this very cool place here in town that wins best venue in Austin the last couple years. It's called Strange Brew. Okay, so he's got this residency there on Tuesdays, but he's taken off to Canada for a few months. So he's like, hey, why don't you take the thing and do something with it? So I'm going to be playing some shows in July and August, but on June 3rd and June 17th, which are Tuesdays, I am going to do some live podcasts. I have not gotten confirmations back on guests yet, so I cannot say who they're going to be, but look for some live How Did I Get Here podcasts on Tuesday, June 3rd. And Tuesday, June 17th, if you live in Austin, Texas, at Strange Brew, okay? And then I will be playing a residency for the rest of the summer. I had a great weekend. I did not play on Friday, but I went and saw Amy LeBeer. She was playing with Will Sexton and Donnie Wynn. Look for our interview coming out pretty soon. I did a podcast with her. It comes out, I think, next Tuesday, which is when her record comes out, the 27th. That's right. Okay, so look for that. So I saw that show. She's incredible live. I suggest that if you see her, she's about to take off on a giant tour as well. Look for her coming to your city. Amy LeBeer, amazing, okay? She's playing with my friend Will, dear friend of mine from since I was 16. Amazing as well. So together, two amazings make an incredibly amazing. So go see them if they are coming to your town. If they're not coming to your town, maybe it's time for a road trip. You never know. So then the next day was Saturday. I went for a nice walk. That's one thing that happened. And I got a new TV on Saturday. I was excited about that. It's not the, you know, it's cool. It's a smart TV. And it's bigger than my other TV, which I ended up putting in my room. So now I can watch it in my room if I need to. And then I played at a festival, a county fair kind of thing with Skyrocket, Deutschenfest, that Saturday night. Great, great crowd. Great, I mean, you know, people as far, you know, as you could see, just having a great time. People on blankets, people dancing, kids, kids singing along. I did have a moment where there were these young teenage girls. They were having a great time, and I was singing a song, and they were filming it with their camera, with their phone. And I reached down thinking it would be cool to pick up their phone and maybe film it, film the band, then film them, and then hand them back their phone. But when I got the phone from the girl, then I dropped it on the stage, and then I was singing, and I went to go pick it up again, and I dropped it again. And I'm still trying to sing, and then I dropped it again, and then I just handed it back to the girl. That was a disaster. It was a total disaster. Anyway, So Sunday, had a relaxing Sunday day. Did a nice walking thing, and then yesterday went and talked to the dude from Strange Brew and talked about these dates and doing this stuff. So, you know, look for these live podcasts coming out June 3rd, or coming up June 3rd and June 17th. They are both Tuesdays. If you live in Austin, you want to see some live podcasts, I will tell you the guests. Stay tuned. I will start revealing them. I'll put them on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. So you should go like that so it'll turn up in your feed and you'll see who's coming. Okay? All right. Look, I'm not going to keep you from this much longer. My friend Taylor Muse from the band Quiet Company came over and we sat down and we talked about their new album, what he's been doing for the last couple years since the last time he was on the show, and also their tour. 16 dates in 16 days. Damn, that's a lot of work. Let's talk to Taylor Muse.
I'm on my best behavior, trying to avoid an early grave. Despite my best intentions, I'm bound to disappoint you either way. So do you love me? Or can you love me?
So you, I saw you played in Fort Worth at the Fort Worth Music Festival this weekend.
Yeah,
how was that?
It was good.
Yeah,
it was. It's, you know, those festivals are so weird because you get there, and we had a really early spot. We were like the third band to play, and so it's just like, you know, you get there really early, and you're like, oh, there's nobody here.
Oh God,
you know, it's
just this
really open field and.
Oh.
And it was kind of weird because they had like two stages.
Was it at the Stockyards?
No.
Okay. Because I played a thing like that where they go between the stage one, stage two thing. Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of having only two stages and just alternating. But there was some like overlap.
Yeah.
Like in sets. So like in the stage that we were on was actually considerably louder than the other stage. And so like it was, they'd start when the other band still had like 5 minutes left, and which felt really kind of almost like disrespectful to me.
Yeah.
And so when it was our turn to go, and they were like, go. And I'm like, they're still going, man. Like, can we just cut our set by 5 minutes and let them finish and then we'll go?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, you really need to go. And so we were just like, oh, I just felt really bad about it. And so we just kind of played a G chord for a minute and let people kind of know that, hey, I guess we're about to start.
Yeah.
It was weird. But I like the idea. I like the layout of it. I just don't like playing over other bands, especially because like I was down.
Nobody does.
I was watching the other band at the stage that was not ours.
Right.
And the first band started on our stage. I'm like, there's no way you can't hear it.
Yeah.
Like, it's there.
Yeah.
It's really loud.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you're kind of a quieter band, or there was like some kind of more folksy bands on there and playing across from this like rock EDM thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It was really awkward.
Where are you at with EDM?
Not.
You're not? Okay, I mean, I wouldn't think you would be because of your music, but sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, dude, I go out, like, you know, wife and I get a sitter, and we go dance.
I mean, my wife loves to go dance, but, like, she's really into, like, really aggressive hip-hop. Like, she's not...
Yeah, she's not, like...
Not like an EDM. Yeah, it's not like, Yeah, that's not her thing, but she loves to dance and stuff. I don't really go in for it. I'll dance at a bar mitzvah or whatever. That's about...
You go to a lot of bar mitzvahs?
I've been to a couple.
Yeah. So we talked 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Where We Belong had just come out
mm-hmm.
recently. You yeah. were working a job that I don't think you work anymore.
No,
You've gone full time.
Well, we did. We went full time. I actually just started another job this week.
Yeah.
Doing some part time like pizza delivery. So
I've done that.
Yeah.
I did that.
It's
like,
not bad.
When my record deal was going south and I was like kind of just mad and I just wanted to make some money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, like, exactly.
Even
what
if it's just fucking like, I just want to make some, I want to know that when I go do something, I'm going to leave with
money is going to be in my pocket at the end of the day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. But it's kind of cool. Like I like working jobs like that kind of, and just the people that you meet. Like doing sure. it, because everybody there is kind of in the same boat. It's a lot of like mid 20s to like, there's a couple like old guys like doing delivery, and I mean it's really not a bad hourly wage, and it's real easy to drive around the car listening to whatever, mm-hmm. and yeah.
What do you listen to?
Delivering, dude. I'm a big Sunny Day Real Estate fan.
Oh yeah,
and. You know, they did that record called The Fire Theft, or that project called Fire Theft. And it was everyone in Sunny Day except for Dan, the guitarist.
Okay.
And when it came out, I don't know what kind of, like, state I was in or whatever, and I wasn't into it. Like, it felt like either, like, too dramatic. I don't know what the deal was, but it didn't grab me. And I had friends that were like, no, dude, you're crazy. That record rules, you know. But I had it on my iPod. And for whatever reason, I stuck it in yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, this record is amazing. Just kind of connected.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to that the past 24 hours pretty nonstop.
It's interesting that you'll give a record a chance, you know what I mean? It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of great that it had this like delayed gratification for me, because now it's like new Sunny Day, even though it's not Sunny Day, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really, really good, and I always kind of felt like, out of all the guys in Sunny Day, like, Dan was the most expendable, I guess. Like kind of noodly guitar parts sometimes. Right. And I'm just like, I can do without that.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever. As long as it's... And Jeremy's solo records are always amazing. Like, he's definitely the one thing I need, you know?
There's a record, you know, a long time ago, Return of the Frog Queen.
Hell yeah.
Dude, that was like... That so was good. Like a standard.
I listened to that
my...
yesterday too.
Oh really? Yeah. I need to get it again, because I don't know what happened to my copy. It's been so long.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got two new solo records after that.
Really?
That took forever to come out, and they're really different. Like, they're not like Return of the Frog Queen. Like, they're a lot closer to more like what Sunny Day was doing.
Yeah.
At the end. But it's still really good. Really, really good.
You know, I think our mutual friend who I saw you're working with, Matt Noveski, is a huge Jeremy Enick fan. Isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Matt produced our new record.
Is it done?
Yeah, it's done.
What's the status? Where are we at?
It has been mixed and mastered. It is done.
All right.
So we are finishing up artwork while we shop the record to labels and whoever else. So we're going to do that for, I don't know, a few weeks, and kind of see if there's any interest, and if not, or if there's not the right kind of interest, then we'll put it out ourselves probably in the fall.
Wow.
So.
How was it working with Matt?
It was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, Matt is a really lovely guy. We had such a good time, and that studio they built is just phenomenal.
I went out there when it was still kind of a little, I mean, there wasn't... I don't think like the flooring was in it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the flooring's in it now.
Okay. Yeah. They got floors in.
They got floors.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've been there.
You need to go back out, man. It's phenomenal. I was telling people, it's like when you watch a movie in like the late 80s or early 90s when the music industry was kind of booming, if you watch some like rock movie where there's maybe like the cliched scene about a band being in the studio for the first time and it's like this amazing like
That's what it's like.
That's what it's like, you know. And it's kind of like, it's a way nicer studio than we could have ever like hoped to record in if Matt hadn't been so cool to us, you know. But it was literally the most fun I've ever had making music, was making that record.
He's a fantastic guy. I mean, I've played a lot with him, like in acoustic shows.
Oh, really?
But we've talked about doing stuff, but we never have.
Dude, he's great. And
yeah, he's great.
He's not like this kind of producer that's going to come in and just like fuck your shit up. You know? And, and you're not going to come out. Leastways, we didn't come out with this record that like no one's going to recognize us, you know, because it's so different. But it was really all about like kind of creating the best like version of us. And he really kind of helped us to see like how recording isn't about like capturing this idea. It's really about capturing like a moment.
Yeah.
You know, and like a performance or like just something really believable and genuine. And then we also were able to record the record live, which is something we'd never done before. And we were
right, because didn't you guys recorded your record yourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else didn't, like Tim Palmer or something,
Tim,
mix it.
Yeah, Tim mixed the last full length. Yeah.
Okay.
And he mixed this one as well.
Okay. Good.
So, yeah.
Tim, well, I know he and Matt have a good thing.
Yeah. Tim is great. We love Tim. He's been really super helpful and he's a real funny guy. I like working with Tim a lot.
I bet it would be fun. Do you go there or do you just get mixes from him? And then kind of get together and talk.
I went out there a couple times in the process of this one. And it's just kind of fun to hang out with Tim. Like he's
it's very cool.
And it's kind of cool to see his process and
and
when you see like what all goes into mixing your record and you're like, "Oh, that's a ton of shit."
Yeah.
And he's really funny because he'll kind of sneak things onto your record. Like in the process of mixing, like he's just in there having fun, you know?
Right.
And he's putting little synth parts on it that you didn't know were there. And like,
but they're cool. They're tasteful.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like very rarely will he have anything on there where you're like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah. yeah.
But then he's like, okay, cool. I'll just pull it, you know, whatever.
I had that happen in a band I was in.
Really?
And it was like in 1990 when my band had like a publishing deal and we went and recorded with this, producer and stuff, and we lived in Houston, and they sent us the first round of mixes, and they had a guy come in and play this. I mean, it was like a band too. It wasn't like a solo act, and like, hey, be sure you add like noodly blues guitar stuff in between the things.
Oh, geez.
But like they were old school, and they kind of felt like we needed some, like the guy would sing and then would come in and they did it on every song, and it was like, it was the most awkward conversation to call someone and be like,
everything you did.
I don't know what you guys were thinking, but like it sounds like somebody's speaking Chinese over English.
Yeah, did we have some conversation that I don't remember where I said,
hey,
noodle the hell out of this while I'm gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we had to pay for that guy too. I think that it was like, and that was where I was like, that was the first time I learned that money's yours. Even if somebody else is paying it, like eventually they're paying with your future
it's
money.
Just deferred,
Yeah.
Oh man, we haven't had anything terrible like that happen.
But you recorded your last. You recorded Where We Belong on your own, right?
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. A Dead Man on My Back. Is that you released that last year?
Yeah, it's a. I mean, it.
What is it?
I don't count that one as much because. Because it's just we re-recorded our first record.
Okay.
Like, and the reasons we did that were that record was originally called Shine Honesty.
Uh-huh, right.
And it was I just did it on my own. It was me and one other guy. And so I played all the instruments on it except for the drums. And it got picked up by this small label out in California called Northern Records. And it was my first label experience, my only like real like label experience really, and it just wasn't anything. And I felt like the record was good, and I mean obviously they did too. But
when you say it wasn't anything like commercially,
no, I mean it wasn't like the record label didn't do anything.
Okay,
they basically remixed it and. I guess that's the extent of what they did is it sounds a little bit better than it did, but then they just kind of they put it on their website and they maybe wrote a newsletter about it in their email newsletter and put it on iTunes. Basically all the stuff you pay CD Baby $40 to do.
Yeah.
Okay, and then that was it. you know, like.
But then you couldn't sell it yourself because right, they owned so then, it, so then re-recording
you
it.
Had to buy it. Buy units from them, and once we left the label, which that's the one thing I can say is like they're really cool about like once we were like we were unhappy with it and they were like okay well you can leave the label we won't like renew your contract if that's what you want
but we so, own these masters
but yeah but they own those masters right. Like so we decided you know the record went out of print like 4 years ago now. And
you still playing songs?
Not really, but okay. You know, we didn't have it at the merch table anymore. And right. We just kind of felt like it was kind of a principal thing, I guess. Right. And we just thought like, so we tried to like enter talks with them to buy the record back at a reasonable price. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't really want to come to the table on that. And so, which we didn't understand because we're like, well, what are you? You're not doing with it. Like you're not selling it. It's out of print. You know, you can't possibly be making much money on it.
Right.
Because we're not advertising it. We're not playing songs on it. Like it's not, it hasn't gotten any licensing like
right.
opportunities. Like, and if it does, like who's going to get the money from that? You know? And so there was a lot of stuff where we just didn't really know where we stood with it. And truthfully, I wish we probably could have used the time to do something else more productive, but we had some kind of bad advice on our end too. And so we just went in and re-recorded the whole thing because we had the ability to do so. And so now we have new masters that we own. We still have to pay, like we had to treat it like a cover record though. We had to pay our royalties.
Oh, to them?
Our cover royalties. For our own songs to another entity, you know, but it's still cheaper than buying it from them,
right?
To pay our royalty and just manufacture it ourselves is still way cheaper, and the art's better, and the sound's better, I guess, and performances are better because it's not me like fucking up everywhere all right. over it. So, you know.
Well, also, I think that it's probably good because you guys have been playing so many shows. It gives you something new to put out there, and it gives you another thing at the merch table to sell.
That's the thing. I just didn't want to spend a whole lot of time like promoting it. Right. So, to some degree, we all kind of felt like we missed an opportunity, you know, for talking points and press points and you know whatever. But I just kind of felt weird about spending a lot of energy on that sort of thing because I'm just not a new record. Like none, this isn't new material that we're excited to play. It's stuff that I've recorded. Like some of those songs from that record were even from my band before
right.
broken up and right. I just kept the songs because we hadn't done anything. And so like I'd recorded those songs like four times
already.
At this point.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really want to keep playing this stuff. Like yeah. it's so old.
Yeah.
And, like it's older than our band, you know?
Yeah.
And, excuse me. So I just, it was kind of a weird like thing. We put two bonus songs on it.
Okay.
That were like from that era that we had never recorded. And those two, I was kind of like, oh, these are at least kind of fun to play.
Cause
it's been so long since I played them and I always liked the songs and stuff. And,
but you didn't do like a release show or anything?
No, we didn't do anything okay. like that, but you know, it's out there now. It exists. If anybody wants that record, like we can sell it to you.
Yeah. You know?
So there's that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. It's in the last 2.5 years since we've talked, you guys have really worked a lot.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of touring.
Mm-hmm.
And who all have you gone out with? You did like New Year's shows with Bob Schneider and these kind of things and kind of these big.
We kind of did a lot of that stuff before we went full time. So we went out with a band. We haven't been out with that many bands. Like we did a lot of tours just kind of on our own. We did a tour with a band called Brick and Mortar.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. The tour was terrible, but like that band's really good.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a newer up and coming band too, and they're out of Jersey. And we did a run with a band called The Features that I was a really big fan of. And that was okay. We did a run with Alpha Rev from here mm-hmm. in town. That was a lot of fun because those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
We're about to go out in a couple weeks with Driver Friendly and The Kickback.
Right. I saw that. And you guys, I was looking at the dates and then I looked at them again and I realized you're playing every single day.
Yeah.
Do you have a booking agent or do you do that yourself?
No, we have a booking agent.
That booking agent's smart, man.
Yeah.
It's no time to fuck. I mean, you might be tired.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't care, you know?
Yeah, what else are you going to do at night?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, out on tour. Exactly. Might as well be playing.
Yeah, I mean, and we're just kind of the mindset that, like, it's hunter-gathering, you know? Like, you got to go out there and get food for the family, bring it back, you know? Like,
yeah.
You can't waste time on that stuff. Like, you got to be working your ass off when you're out there, you know? And
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. And, like, when I've seen you play since then, I think I saw you, I want to say either last summer or the summer before. When did you do one of those KGSR?
Like Blues on the Green?
Yeah.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Okay, then I saw you in 2012.
We're going to do it last year, yeah.
Okay.
We're doing it again coming up here.
I saw that.
On August 6th?
Yeah, I thought it was weird that you guys were opening.
Well, we're co-headlining.
Oh, co-headlining. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're roping.
Yeah.
Like we're first, so who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're playing a little bit longer set than an opener set, but yeah, we're playing first, so we're opening.
So when I saw you guys there, what I was going to say is, like, your performance is definitely no holds barred. Like,
oh, thank you.
There's not a lot left of you when you walk off the stage. It's all on the stage.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we've always kind of shot for that, you know. My favorite bands to see are the ones that tend to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I also saw, was it an actual ACL you guys did?
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. Like, a performance on there was great.
Oh, thank you. You mean the video? Or when the ACL Fest?
No, like of an AC, weren't you on the ACL stage playing?
Oh, we did satellite sets.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was great, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
that one, we have that one's really old. I guess that was...
Even before we talked the first time?
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, sorry.
That's okay. You can keep track.
I'm trying to. But you guys have done a lot of stuff. You've been on All Things Considered.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, things of this. Do you have management? Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had Paul Osborne, who's kind of my best friend.
Cool.
Just kind of jumped in with us early on and has been handling all of that ever since, you know.
How is that? How is that relationship? As opposed to, like, a manager that you go and kind of audition for, and then he takes you and has, like, a day-to-day.
I mean, I don't know, because we never
Paul's
had
your bro.
We never had the other, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how it compares. Like, Paul is just a guy that we knew and just really had good ideas and kind of had been a music fan for, you know, forever. And he was always the kind of guy that he's like, man, if I was, like, in a band, like, here's the things that I would want to do, you know, and they were a little bit outside the box. And so, he was just really good at that sort of thing. And
what's his training? Like, what's his professional?
You know, he's just managed a lot of like retail and stuff like that.
Okay, so it's management.
Yeah. But he just really wanted to do it. And we kind of had nobody else wanting to do it at the time. And
yeah.
And so I hate doing that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like I kind of hate every element of the music industry that is not playing or performing or writing music, you know? Like, everything else sucks. Like,
yeah.
Like, sucks, you know? Like, interviews and stuff like that, notwithstanding, like, these things are fine and fun and stuff, but as far as, like, all, like, the business aspects of it.
No,
and,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It sucks. It's just terrible, and not anything I ever want to spend time doing, and I just don't even feel like I understand it most of the time, you know. That's whatever side of the brain that is. That, like, Tommy's real good at it, you know. He gets all of it and has a real mind for it, but I don't. I just, it's every bit of effort I have not to just check out completely in those conversations, you know. Yeah, but I don't know, some people like it.
So you guys are doing 16 shows in 16 days.
That's the way it's looking up. There may be a day in there, because we've been trying to book this
TBA show.
Yeah, we've been trying to get this Washington, D.C. show. And I don't know what the deal is with Washington, D.C., because we've had really good shows there.
Like, yeah.
Like, our last show, we went up there, and it was one of the best shows on the tour. And packed this room. And
what place?
It was called the Black Cats, like the small room of the Black Cats.
I played there.
It was great.
Yeah.
And we were just like, man, it's our one of our favorite shows on the tour, probably our second favorite show on tour. And the guys, they were like, yeah, this was great. You guys come back anytime. And then, like, nobody will email you back, like, at any venue in D.C. Like, and it's so weird because, like, everyone, we've talked to so many people, they're like, yeah, D.C. is like that. Like, none of us can get through. Like, I don't know what the deal is.
Huh.
Because we've had, like, really good experiences there. Like, we've had a handful of shows, and they've all always gone well.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's a weird town, I guess.
It is a weird town. Where else are you doing well? Like, I mean, you're doing the Midwest and you're doing the East Coast. I'm going to try because I'm playing the 6th and 7th in New York.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm staying till the 10th. And I saw you guys were going to be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. Yeah, and I'm staying in Brooklyn.
New York is sometimes good and sometimes not. Chicago's usually really good. D.C.'s been good every time we get there. Boston's okay. Philly has been really good and really just awful. Houston's really good. Cleveland, Mississippi is actually really, really good.
I've never even heard of that town.
Neither had we. But we love it.
Where do you play in Houston? Like Fitzgerald's or something?
Yeah, Fitzgerald's is great. We've done Warehouse Live the last couple times.
I like that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big concrete room.
It is a big concrete room, but I've had some good shows there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our shows have been fun there. It's just a big concrete room. It's the only problem with it. I just feel like there was just curtains on the walls or something.
Oh, I see what you mean. You know? Don't they have a smaller room that's a little bit more curtained off?
Yeah, they've got three rooms now. They've got they call the green room, which is like this really small room. And that's actually probably the best sounding room.
Yeah.
And then they've got this, I think they call it the studio, which is like about a 300 cap room.
Yeah, that's
the one we've played
room.
The last few times. And, you know, whatever. And then we've never played like the big room.
Okay.
But yeah.
It's that 300 room that I thought was a little more, more curtains or something.
Yeah, it's less boomy than the big room for sure. But yeah.
I haven't played there in a couple of years.
The people there are cool there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
wanna work with you.
Yeah. How often do you play like a place like that? Like, how often do you try to go and hit these places? Because it's a strategy, and you got to keep building the business.
Yeah. If it were up to me, man, like, we would very rarely play, I think.
But you got to bring the money.
But you got to get the money. So we play pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
why would you barely play?
Just
to make it more of an event?
Yeah, just to make it more of an event, you know. I mean, it's no secret, like, you draw better when you play less, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's always that question of, like, well, do you want to, like, make your numbers look better and, you know, be able to negotiate, like, tougher next time, you know, and get more money at fewer events? Or do you want to just have this constant stream of revenue coming in for smaller paydays and smaller shows? And but I mean, at some point you just kind of feel like you just want to see more bodies in the room, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll take less money if there's more people, almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it makes me feel like I haven't made exclusively terrible decisions in my life. Because you're just like, man, what am I doing?
So, with Driver Friendly and the Kickback, how is that going to work? Are you guys rotating slots, or is that like a set?
I think we're headlining most of them.
Okay.
I know Kickback is headlining
some of the
in
their
Urbana,
strong markets.
Illinois, yeah. And they're doing direct support in Chicago. I think Driver Friendly is probably direct support in most of those. And then and Kickback's opening. I don't remember if there's any markets where Driver is headlining. There may be.
Okay. And you're excited to get around to the Chicagos and the New Yorks?
Yeah, I'm really excited about Cleveland. Chicago. I just don't know what to expect with New York ever, you know. I don't like that city.
You don't?
No. I like a lot of the people. I mean, I have a lot of friends up there, and I love going up there and seeing them, but just driving in that hellhole.
Oh, gigs.
Yeah, it's just... I just don't like being, it's just too much.
It's too much.
Like, and I like cities, you know, I'm not like a a country guy or anything, but it's just too much. It's and too it much. Smells it's, like garbage.
Yeah, a lot of all the time. Places.
We can just call it like it is. Like that place smells like garbage.
Yeah.
And there's garbage on the streets all the time. And I feel like it's always trash day, but it never helps. Yeah.
No.
Like it's just always there.
Yeah.
And whatever. But I like the people a lot. And we have a lot of friends up there, and shows can be pretty good sometimes.
The loading and all that shit sucks.
Dude, that's the worst thing about it. Is like you go and you park on the street because there's nowhere else to park, but then each side of the street, there's like a laundry list of rules about when you can park
exactly.
on the street. And they're designed to confuse you. Like they are, because it's like, don't park on Saturday after midnight.
Yeah.
But don't park on Sunday morning.
Right.
I'm like,
Yeah.
So, that seems redundant, but also like there may be, and you're just like, it's designed to confuse you because it's just for generating revenue for the city.
Yeah.
That's all it's for, I'm sure.
Well,
and you can't turn right on red. If you don't know that, going in, let this be your warning.
I've barely driven there. I drove there once when I was on the road, and it was horrible. I'm thinking about it now.
Dude, if you can go there and not have to take a van and a trailer.
That's what we're doing. I mean, we're flying in and playing two nights, but everything's...
See, that's awesome.
Everything's...
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
Like, no amps, no drums, no...
It would be so much less stressful.
It's a lot less stressful.
Like Chicago's a big city. And
it's not as hard to load and do that shit there. New York is definitely difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. So much easier. I mean,
do you guys have a tour manager or someone?
No, Paul, our regular manager, goes with us when he can.
Okay.
You know, and otherwise we just kind of do it ourselves. You know.
Yeah, you're not like a...
We're grown ass men.
Yeah, you're not like a...
We should be able to handle...
Yeah. Getting to a city in time. Because you have a job to do.
Yeah. Like nobody's like...
Nobody's
drunk all the time or anything, so yeah, not in any unmanageable way anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so we're pretty even keel.
Yeah. What else is going on with you? How's your daughter? How old is she now?
She's 5, man.
Like, she's 5.
Yeah, like
she was 2.5 then last time.
Yeah, we signed her up for kindergarten, and that's gonna start soon, and that's crazy. She's awesome, man. She's been at my parents' house for last week, so I just got her back yesterday, and I was so glad to, man. I liked living alone when I was 21. I fucking hated it at 32. Like, can't do without my wife and kid now, man. I'm just so used to it. Like, I don't sleep. Like, I sleep better on the floor on tour, you know, on my crappy little blow-up mattress than I do in my own bed when my wife and kid are gone.
Yeah. You know?
It's like I just can't even make myself go to sleep. I just lay in bed watching Family Guy reruns.
Yeah.
Four in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I've seen these, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever. Netflix is like this bad addiction that I have. And
it's a pretty bad addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty exhausted, like, now. And I went to bed kind of normally last night.
Do you take your daughter to, like, if you play, like, an ACL or a festival here in town or something outside she can go to?
Yeah, if we play something outside, like, I'll take her.
How does she like it?
She loves it. Yeah? You know, I don't really think she's, like, that into our music, you know?
What's she into?
She's really into...
Frozen?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like, she's really into Disney music like that and Katy Perry... Like Roar, and she'll play that song over and over again. You know, Taylor Swift, like I told you, my wife is really into like hip hop and stuff, and so she plays a lot of that stuff, which is kind of funny and kind of like fucked up sometimes because like my 5-year-old daughter is like singing Khaleesi's Milkshake, you know, my milkshake brings up the voice of the young man, and I'm just like, I don't know about all this, but. It's pretty funny, so.
It sounds like all three of you guys just should have your own iPods with earbuds.
We really
You're
should.
All listening to your own music.
We really
no
should,
one's listening to the same thing.
It's so funny, man, because like when I met my wife, like she was this little, you know, indie rock chick, you know?
Yeah.
And we'd go to like shows and listen to kind of the same music. And, like now she doesn't listen to rock music like at all. You know,
yeah.
It's like my music is kind of the only like rock music she listens to. I played the Dandy Warhols the other day, and she was like, "Oh, what is this? This is really good." But you know, That's.
Are you a fan of theirs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm a big. I've been on a big kick for them lately, actually. Because I recently rewatched that documentary, Dig. And it just kind of like made me like, yeah, the Dandies are so good, man. And I just got back into it and been listening to them a lot.
Yeah.
You like that documentary?
You know what? Yeah, I love that documentary mostly because I went through like a midlife crisis and my wife and I had gotten divorced and I lived with these crazy people. I had toured with Casey McPherson in his band Endosheen.
Oh, yeah.
For a while. And I had to quit because of seriously like the mental instability in that band got to a point where I could no longer hang.
Oh, in Endosheen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In case you would agree. You were in that band.
Yeah, I was kind of like the extra keyboards, guitar, backing vocal guy.
Yeah.
And so I had been in some situations where people were partying and people would say to me, like, dude, I'm worried about you. When I saw that movie, I was like, Jesus, I'm like a member of the Mickey Mouse Club compared to these people are like with these giant Scarface plates of cocaine at their parties. Like, who lives like that? And plus, you know, those people didn't have any fucking money. Like, how did they do that?
Well, it's like the whole... I feel like the whole like first like hour of the movie is like they keep talking about how like the only way Anton like gets to record new music is he scams it out of like A&R guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
kinda strings them along.
Yeah.
Like strings them along because I mean to some degree like they talk about how like them and the Dandies were like number ones
on every
A&R.
They were
list.
The buzz. Yeah.
And so like everybody kind of wanted them, but then. So they'd give these things to them, to Anton, and he'd go in to make like three demos and record an entire record. Yeah. That's how he'd get the record done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And which is awesome.
Yeah.
I guess to some degree that he was able to like just throw out a whole record. But yeah, he's terrible. Like,
oh my God.
Just terrible.
Well, you know, the other thing too was I had quite a few like in the 90s. And early 2000s, like very important fucking showcases mm-hmm. at the Viper Room. And when he has his meltdown there, I was mm-hmm. like, God, it was almost cathartic to get to watch that. That's all I really wanted to do during any of those shows was just throw a fucking fit on stage and walk off and not play.
He says what everyone's thinking.
Yeah. And the other thing about that movie was, and I went back and forth, and I kind of became obsessed with Anton, and I went to go see him spin at like Red Eyed Fly during South by Southwest one year. Yeah. And it was really like his thing was everyone went to that show after seeing that movie. Mm-hmm. That movie had been out for a couple of years. And they went to that show just to...
To fuck with him.
Just to fuck with him. Just to get him to that point where he was pissed off. And through that movie, like I love the Dandy Warhols. And then I love the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Mm-hmm. I love their music. And I loved that there was always that question like... Who is the genius? The guy that knows how to play the game and get his fucking music out and do his thing? Or the guy that's just a fucking lunatic and ruins every chance he has? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I think...
And I went back and
forth. I
think forth.
Corny Taylor is definitely the genius.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And Anton is definitely the fuck up.
But there is like... There are things about Courtney Taylor that were upsetting to me. Like when he's talking on the phone and he's like, we've made thousands of videos. But they haven't made thousands of videos.
Like,
just his whole, like, that whole thing was, like, annoying. If I had to deal with someone like that on a constant basis, I would be upset.
Like, Courtney, it's like there are moments in that movie where you're like, okay, this dude is firmly planted up his own ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
Both of them. Yeah.
Both of them are. But, like, Courtney has the wherewithal to, like, pull it out every once in a while and function.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know? And he's. Like, I don't think anyone would say that the Dandy Warhols have, like, sold out or made records that weren't, like, creative or, like, engaging and, like, true to themselves, you know? Like, because those records all kick ass. Like, especially the one that they're making, like, in the process of that documentary, like, their first record, Come Down.
Right.
Like, that record is just amazing.
Yeah.
But they talk about how, like... When Brian Jonestown Massacre guys like heard that record, like they were like, "Oh, they sold out."
Yeah,
and, like they just really thought they were way off base now. And but yeah, that movie's kind of hard to watch, man, because it's just like that. Anton is so like I just hate him. Like, I just hate him.
Yeah, that level of self-destruction, especially to somebody that's trying to do something, and you're like, fuck, if I was in that position, I would not ruin everything for everyone.
Exactly. It's like, dude, all you have to do is be a normal-ass person for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have everything that you want, you know? Yeah. And then you just kind of have to hold it together enough to do it. But, like I kind of get, like, I'm a little bit, I don't know what the word is. But, like, I really care about our live performance. And I get mad if someone's messing up on stage. Like I do. Like, I take it personal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And because I'm just like, I just kind of feel like, man, we all got one job to do.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Get on stage
and
play
well.
And
what have we wasted all this time, like, working so hard to do this one thing? Yeah.
Like, you get on stage and you mess up. It's not okay. It's not okay. And I'm never going to say it is okay. But, like, Anton, like, freaks the hell out on stage.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, kicking guys on stage while if they mess up, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he's fighting band members on stage. And you're just, like, it kind of made me feel like, oh, man, if these guys ever think that I'm out of control just for wanting to have, like, a conversation about it afterwards, you know? Just be like, hey, guys, this happened. It's not okay.
Yeah.
Watch your ass. You know, like, that's like, the extent of our thing, like... And people are just like, oh man, like, I think I'm being unreasonable sometimes. Yeah. But like, watching that guy, I'm just like, you guys don't know like how bad this could be.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's insane.
I heard from a guy in another band that guys that were in a band with me in the 90s referred to me as the Little General.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually liked that. I was like, I think more people should say that shit.
Yeah.
And band guys will come into my band and know.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to... Well, it's such a weird, like, kind of reputation to get, because you're like, what am I being, like, insulted for?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it.
For caring.
Yeah.
Like, I'm for caring. Like, I care. Like, we've all spent a lot of time and effort and money on this stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't you care?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you hold yourself to a higher standard?
Exactly.
You know, like, why do I have to be the guy that says, hey... Did you know it's not good to mess up? You know, like,
right.
I shouldn't have to be. I don't like being that guy.
Yeah. Nobody, no.
Like, I don't like confronting anyone about mistakes they made. You know?
Right.
But.
And you don't think of stuff as having to go to practice or having to. This is something, I mean, you get to do this.
Sure.
I mean, you're lucky.
Yeah. I mean.
I mean, it's hard work luckier. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a. I mean, I just think anything that I do, you know, I just don't want to do some shitty job at it.
Yeah.
Whether it's delivering pizzas or like playing on ACL stage.
Yeah. Those
like,
things.
Like you, are, right. How you do anything is how you do everything.
There are not many people that think like you do. They might say, I'll give it all when I'm on ACL, but I'm not going to fucking do the best pizza delivery job when I'm doing
it. Sure.
But why not? You're fucking doing it. Why?
It's you.
Why be crappy?
Yeah. It's like you're there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything you do, like, has got your name on it.
Yeah.
To some degree. You know, it's even like when you play, like, we kind of have these conversations sometimes, so we'll arrange this big, like, something, like, kind of showy or theatrical for a show, and when you got, like, a big crowd... Like, that's, like, super into you, and you do it, and you pull this thing out, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And everyone's, like, having a good time.
Yeah.
Then you get to, like, the small club, and there's not very many people there, and you start to feel, like, self-conscious. And
a little bit,
like,
yeah.
It's like, well, do we do this thing, or does that make us look like assholes?
Yeah, you know?
For pretending like it's this big crowd when it's not, you know? And, I mean, I think the right answer is, yeah, you do the thing.
Yeah.
Like you always do the thing because it's that whole, like, you dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember reading some article, like, when I was a kid about U2 and how, like, Bono was great because Bono gives you the same show whether there's 14 people in the room or 14,000.
Yeah.
And that always just stuck with me. And,
like,
thankfully, like, people have kind of said that about us over the years. Even though I know there are shows where we have, like...
I've not seen you in front of a small crowd, so I don't know.
I mean, I know there have been shows where I've just been like, man, I just...
Got to get out of here.
I don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, like, put on my game face and do it tonight, you know? I'll stand here and I'll play and sing the songs and I'll try to do those two things well.
You know? Right. Yeah.
And but it's just like I'm not climbing on the speakers and,
right.
and swinging out over the crowd and twirling the microphone and, you know, I'm not doing that stuff, you know. And I should be. Like, that's the thing. It's like I should be doing those things, you know, because if there's anyone in the room, like, that's still one person that's going to leave and go, yeah, I saw Quiet Company. They sucked, you know, or they were lazy or they were blah or whatever. Versus like, oh, dude, I saw this band and I was the only one there and they still kicked the shit out of that room.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what story do you want anyone to leave with?
Oh, you want them to leave with that classic.
You want them to leave with the former. Yeah.
There's a great story about, I guess, before Nothing Shocking, whatever Triple X album that Jane's Addiction put out in the late 80s and did their very first tour. And they played, there used to be a venue next to the Cactus called the Texas Tavern in that building at UT.
Okay.
And it was like the rock room.
Oh, okay.
And I have a couple of friends that went to go to see Jane's Addiction on that tour. And there, I guess there was like 15 people there, but those 15 people went the next time they came and brought friends and were lifelong fans because even more than if that place would have been packed because they felt like these guys gave them like the arena show
exactly
in the 15 person club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and plus it's like people love exclusivity. Like they love to feel like, oh man, very few people got to experience what I experienced.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah.
You know, like all these other people that are here at the big show.
Yeah.
Like we're all seeing Jane's Addiction and there's thousands and thousands of people here.
Yeah.
And we're all like having this experience and it's somewhat diluted because of that. But like the people that have the story of like, dude, I saw them when there was 14 people and it was the same show and it was amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was even better, you know, because they're probably hungrier.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, like those are the people, like you said, like they are lifelong.
Yeah.
Because they have that experience.
Yeah. Here's something I thought about you last year. You did a show with Cheap Trick that I was going to go to, but I did not go. And that's a band that's managed to stay hungry.
Yeah, dude.
It's weird.
They play like 200 shows a year still.
It's really weird that people have been around that long and still, like, because the Stones don't do that.
They kill it.
They kill it every time. That's not a joke. Like that band goes out and that guy sings. He's like 60 something now.
It's the same show.
Still singing. Yeah.
And he is.
He has to alter a couple of things, but there are things that are like.
I didn't hear.
He could barely do when I saw them in his late 20s and early 30s.
Yeah. Like he. I didn't. It sounded like Live at Budokan to me.
Yeah.
You know, when we played with them. And. Yeah, that was a really surreal experience. But they definitely are not feeling old.
No, you know, there's something about the hunger and the way that they play that other people just don't play like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rick Nielsen, I can definitely say is one of the weirdest people I've ever met.
Oh, you met him? Yeah. Look at that. That's his.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's his strap. My old tour manager toured with them. Got it for me.
I ran into him backstage, and I was like, I should say something, you know?
Yeah, what'd you say?
And so I went up to him, and I was like, hey, Rick, like, I'm Taylor. I'm playing in the band before you guys. I just wanted to say, like, thanks for having us. You know, we're really, really honored to be here. Like, we're big fans. And he was like, who are you? And I was just like, I'm Taylor. I'm playing for the opener band. What band? Yeah. Like, oh, we're called Quiet Company. We're from Austin here. You know, we're just really happy to be here. Just wanted to say thank you. Well, what are you doing tonight? Like,
really?
I'm playing guitar in this band. And I just wanted to say hey. And what do you do in the band? Like I play guitar and I sing. And at that point I was just like, I gotta get out of this conversation. It was just so weird. And he just like is like looking at me the whole time. And I was just like, okay. So finally I kind of like got out of it. I don't even remember how. And I was walking around somewhere else and Paul texted me and he was like, hey, this was probably like 40 minutes later. And Paul texts me. He's like, hey, Rick Nielsen is looking for you backstage. And I was like, what? And so I go backstage and he's nowhere to be found. And my wife and daughter are there now. And the singer is like playing with my daughter. And
Robin Zander played with you. That's like getting your daughter blessed by someone.
Right, right. To me. Yeah. And but I didn't see Rick anywhere. Anyway, so like we went and played and it went pretty well. And then I was watching their show when they were playing from side stage and on Rick's side. And he is like soloing and stuff. And he's just walking around stage and he walks back to, and he stands like right in front of me and on the side of stage. And he's like, Taylor? And I'm like, Rick? And he turns around and goes back out and plays. And it was just like
That's so weird. Funniest
thing to me. And then after, when they come off, like for their encore, he's like, how was it, Taylor? I was like, it was pretty good, Rick. And he like, that was the last thing I said to him. And it just the whole
pretty
night.
Awesome,
just,
though.
It was pretty weird. I never found out like why he was asking about me backstage or if he actually needed anything or whatever. He was just a weird guy, but it was pretty funny to me.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Who else have you guys opened for?
A lot of people now at this point. We played like 6 or 7 shows with the Toadies now.
Oh, cool. These guys are great.
Yeah, they're fantastic. It's a great band. They're one of my favorite bands, so that's been really fun. Some of my favorite bands we played with, one of our earlier shows was with this band called The Paper Chase out of Dallas. I don't think they're together anymore, but they're one of the best bands ever. Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going blank now.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Is there anything I'm missing? Tell me a little bit about what's different about Transgressor than Where We Belong.
Well, it's less of a concept record. We're All Where We Belong was, it was about one thing, and it was just the whole religious aspect.
Yeah.
And, so this kind of scoots around a little bit more. It certainly has themes, like recurring themes. And we recorded it live, which is something we've never done. So we have a new drummer, and he's featured pretty heavily on the record. It's a little bit more, it's probably our heaviest record.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think so. Our guitars finally, kind of sound the way we want them to. And we'd always kind of wanted, big guitars, and we never really able to really get it. And I feel like this is the best we've done at that. And,
Matt's got a good feel for that stuff.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just kind of nice to, when you're, recording. I like to do a 2-amp thing, whenever I can.
Yeah.
And so it's just nice to have, my trusty old DeVille and then, this huge Marshall stack. Yeah, just next to it. And, and I'm micing them both. And it's it's pretty awesome. I feel like I make some of my guitar gods a little bit proud.
Yeah.
But, I'm really happy with it.
Well, you guys leave out on tour, what date? The 30th?
Yeah.
Start off in Waco.
Yeah.
And then you go up the Midwest over to the East Coast.
Right.
People can find out where you are by going to quietcompanymusic.com and looking at the tour dates. Yes, is there anything I'm missing?
No, I just whoever's listening, just please, for the love of God, come out to those shows.
Yeah, come out to those shows. If you're in New York, New York, if you're in Chicago,
Philadelphia, Chicago, Charlotte,
Atlanta, you're playing a festival.
Yeah,
are you headlining that festival? It looks like it. Your name is really big.
It looks that way. I don't know why that'd be the case, but yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that the other day for the first time, and I was like, I didn't know that that's what was happening. So that was pretty weird. But sure, I guess we are. And
New York is the three of you guys doing the show?
Yeah.
And that's at the Living Room or the Knitting Factory?
Knitting Factory.
Knitting Factory, okay.
Yeah, I like the Knitting Factory a lot. So it's technically it's Brooklyn. But,
right.
But yeah, that's...
And that's where I'll be staying that day, so perfect.
Awesome. Because you definitely should come over.
I cannot afford hotels unless someone else is paying for them.
Oh, yeah,
in that
who can?
City.
Who can? Oh, man.
I tried to get a hotel last time I played there. I was like, oh, I'm going to stay a couple extra days. So they pay for the first 2 days. And so I was like, yeah, it's cool. It's like a Holiday Inn.
Mm-hmm.
How much is it going to be? So I'm like, it was like $670 a night.
It's all the blood in your body.
That's like, yeah. I was like, that's so much money.
Yeah.
To sleep somewhere.
Dude, there, me and my wife stayed up there one day. She flew up for our anniversary last year when we were in New York. And so we got a room, but we got one of those little pod rooms.
You know? Oh, yeah, it's
tiny, you know. It's
what's
like,
that? A couple hundred bucks?
It's like this, you know, big, you know, and there's a bathroom kind of. Yeah. I don't even remember how much it was, but it was definitely like the cheapest thing. It was over 100 for sure, right. You know, and a night, and it was the cheapest thing we could possibly find.
Well, I might turn up and surprise you. Yeah, in the dude, Brooklyn.
Well, call me and I'll guest list you.
Well, I don't want you guys to be having to have guest lists on the road.
Well, I mean.
But maybe I will now. I got your number.
I'd rather have people the in person. The room. You know?
All right. Well, man, that would be a good activity. I will contact my friends that I will be with and I'll say, hey, I know some dudes. And then they'll probably be like, you're coming to New York to watch a band from Austin? And then I'll be like, I know, it's weird, but I like you guys. And it's fun to see a band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
out of the element.
Yeah, out of the element.
Yeah, there's a band. What are they called now? Now it's going to bother me. But there's this one band I've been hearing about for forever, and I'd never seen them play, and we ended up on the same bill in Toronto. And I was like, well, finally seeing this band.
Yeah.
In Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they live down the street. But.
Well, there you go. There's nothing I'm missing.
No. Just,
people should go out to this. Is it going to be a great tour, all three of you guys?
It is. I've heard the other two bands today. It's our first tour with the new lineup.
Oh, great.
So we got a new keyboard player, a new drummer, and it's just, I think it's the best we've ever sounded. So, yeah, definitely come out and check it out.
Good. Did you get to see Billy Gibbons? Did you guys play on the same day?
No.
This weekend? Okay.
No.
My friend Mike's playing keyboards with him. And
oh, really?
Yeah, just like it's, everything about Billy Gibbons is so cool. Do you think that? Really?
Yeah.
You've never met him, have you?
No.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than Rick Nielsen. Yeah. He really makes you feel like he's meeting Elvis, especially if he's seen you play, regardless of what he must actually be thinking.
Like, so he's the fanboy?
It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he doesn't stop. And you've never seen anybody be that kind to that many people at once. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he has a great capacity for kindness.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, like, I was like, you will, and you'll enjoy it. Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for coming. I wish you a lot of luck, and I'm looking forward to hearing Transgressor.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Taylor Muse, Quiet Company, man. What a great band. And what a great dude, man. I love talking to that guy. He is a fantastic guy. He is salt of the earth. He is the real deal kind of person that I like talking to. So thank you, Taylor, for coming to my apartment. And I'm looking forward to seeing these guys while they're out in the middle of their tour in Brooklyn at the Knitting Factory on June 8th. If you live in New York City and you want to say hi to me at a place, I will be at the Hill Country Barbecue on Saturday, June 7th. In Manhattan with Skyrocket. Come out there, say hi to me. If you want to just see me hanging out at a place, go the next night, Sunday, June 8th, to the Knitting Factory, to the Quiet Company show, and you will find me there, Johnny, at a place. Just hanging out, being a guy with the Quiet Company. All right, hey, man, I wish them a lot of luck on their tour. I wish you a lot of luck in whatever that you're doing. Because here at How Did I Get Here, we care about the people that listen to this show, our fans. And you still need a collective name. Man, we're almost 300 episodes into it, and you guys don't have a collective name. So think about that and tweet it at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnny Gowdy. And if you don't know how to read, you can follow me on Instagram at Johnny Gowdy as well. And find out pictures and stuff. And also, while you're out there on the internet doing these things and following and such, go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page and like it. You'll find out stuff that's going on. I'll drop news to you. I'll put pictures up. And I will tell you stuff about life that I know. All right, hey, let's listen to The Quiet Company. And also, thank you so much for listening to this show. I really do appreciate it. You know? All right? Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. That's one last plea, okay? Hey, have a great time. And if you're out there in America, look up quietcompanymusic.com and Find out where they're going to be. If they're coming to a town near you, it is worth it, man. They are incredible, incredible performers. Taylor is a no holds barred musician and performer. Go see it. Go do it. Let's listen to them now. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Taylor for coming by. Let's get down.
So I will hold you till you fall asleep. I look inside you and I see myself. I look inside you and I see myself. So I will love you, I will try and be strong.
See?